Welcome to the September podcast for Neurosurgical Focus. I'm Natalie Pincham. The September issue is on the topic of imaging of the peripheral nerve. In this podcast, topic editor Dr. Robert Spinner of the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, speaks with Dr. Michelle Clio of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. They discuss Dr. Clio and colleagues' article, Diffusion Tensor Imaging to Visualize Axons in the Setting of Nerve Injury and Recovery.
I'm Robert J. Spinner from the Mayo Clinic. I'm pleased to be here today with Michelle Clio, a good friend and a world's authority in peripheral nerve. Michelle is professor and interim chair of neurosurgery at Northwestern. He and I, along with Drs. Kim Amrami and Martin Malesi, are co-editors of the September 2015 volume of Neurosurgical Focus on Imaging of Peripheral Nerves. Because of its novelty and potential, Michelle's article with his group on DTI imaging to visualize axons is being featured for this particular podcast. Michelle, can you give me some background on this new technique?
Absolutely, Rob. As you know, when you're dealing with peripheral nerve injuries, it's very important to determine the severity of the injury. And we have different ways of grading the injury. Traditionally, the clinical exam has been extremely important and remains so. We also get additional data by doing electrodiagnostic studies, which come in several flavors like EMG and nerve conduction studies. Despite these wonderful ways of evaluating nerves, we sometimes still have a problem in predicting which types of nerve injuries will get better on their own and which require a surgeon such as ourselves to go in and do a nerve repair. Currently, we adopt a strategy in which after a severe injury in which we know the axons have been injured to the point where they degenerate, we will wait several months to see if the patient gets better clinically and if there's any early evidence of reinnervation on the EMG. If there is, then we wait and see if additional recovery occurs, which it usually does. If, on the other hand, after several months there is no recovery, then the current standard is to perform an exploratory surgery in which the injured segment of nerve is exposed intraoperatively, and then we use electrodes to record across the injured segment to see if there's any evidence of axons getting across the injured segment. Sometimes there is, and therefore we wait longer to allow the nerve to recover on its own. If there isn't any evidence of recovery across the injury site, then we repair the site with or without a graft. So this is the way we currently do things. What we've been trying to do for many years is develop a way of non-invasively imaging axons both after injury and during the regenerative phase. This would allow us to determine whether or not a nerve would recover on its own before reaching its target structure. Right now, it requires the axon to reach the muscle for us to determine whether the patient is recovering either clinically or with EMG. And so what we've done is to employ MRI techniques to help us visualize axons both in normal nerves, in injured nerves, and recovering nerves. And we've basically used techniques that have been used probably for over 20 years in the brain. And these techniques rely on the ability of water to diffuse in different directions and the ability of MRI to pick up this diffusion of water. And when water is constrained by cell membranes like axons, it tends to diffuse more in one direction than the other, particularly if you're dealing with a structure like an axon, which is very elongated in one direction and relatively thin in another. And DTI techniques and mathematics and physics is able to pick up the direction and presence of axons. Now, we've been able to do this very well for the past 20 years in the brain, primarily because the brain is a very homogeneous structure, and this has allowed us to do it very successfully. Unfortunately, up until recently, it's been very challenging to do this in the peripheral nervous system due to the fact that the tissue structures differ so much in various properties. However, recent advances in MRI technology are now allowing us to visualize these nerve fibers just like we did in the brain, and we're now using it to help us evaluate patients with severe injuries and determine whether or not they're going to recover or whether or not they're going to require exploratory surgery and a repair.
Well, that's really exciting. Perhaps you can elaborate further on the value of DTI in clinical settings.
So in our paper, in the issue that you've described, we have several examples. One is a gentleman who was a carpenter who suffered a very severe traumatic, open traumatic saw injury to the peroneal nerve in his lower leg next to the fibular head. It's in a very superficial location at this point and very prone to injury. In his case, he damaged the nerve severely. And what we're able to do is use MRI preoperatively, and it demonstrated that the nerve fiber stopped abruptly at the point of injury. So the MRI confirmed our clinical suspicion, and it correlated very nicely with the open injury he suffered. We then went ahead and explored the nerve, and we found that indeed it had been transected and badly damaged, and it was damaged over a several centimeter segment, so it was necessary for us to graft repair it with sural nerves from the patient himself. After doing so, we therefore reestablished highways for the nerve fibers to regenerate down. We then followed him very carefully, and after a month, we brought him back and put him in the MRI scanner and showed that there were a few fibers growing across the graft, and then we brought him back about a year later, at which point he began to show clear evidence of recovering function in his foot. This was also documented on EMG. And the MRI confirmed the presence of axons through the grafts and beyond. So this was really one of the first examples ever using MRI to document both the state of the nerve prior to its repair, showing that the axon stopped at the point of injury, and then showing that the MRI picked up regenerating axons all the way through the recovery process. Other examples we've used is other types of nerve injuries. We've also used the nerve fiber imaging to help us look at structural problems such as thoracic outlet when you have a very large rib that's displacing the brachial plexus. Not only can you see the rib and the gross outline of the brachial plexus like we've done up until now, but you can actually see the fibers, the nerve fibers themselves splayed out over the rib, and we have an example of this. We've also, in another paper in the same edition, used it to actually map the distribution of nerve fibers around tumors, and this is helping us determine how to approach these tumors in a safe way so that we don't damage functioning nerve fibers.
It's really impressive to hear. With one technique, you're able to elucidate all the things we're featuring in our journal, entrapment, injuries, tumor, and neuropathic pain. Michelle, what do you see as being next in the horizon?
Well, I think obviously we've made significant progress and we need to continue to perfect the technique and demonstrate its clinical utility. I think that in addition to MRI, we're also pushing the frontiers in ultrasound, and I'm hoping that ultrasound, which is less expensive and more readily available, perhaps may demonstrate a capacity to do something similar to what the MRI DTI is doing now.
Well, Michelle, as always, it's great to chat with you and learn from you. As you've shown and demonstrated, high-resolution imaging represents the new frontier in peripheral nerve surgery. I'm excited by your great contributions, too, and the advances you've made in our field. Thanks so much for sharing all of this with us today.
Rob, thank you. As always, it's a pleasure to discuss nerve issues with you.
This concludes our podcast for the September issue of Neurosurgical Focus. Please join us for the October issue, when the topic will be Complications of Lumbar Spinal Surgery. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is contained in the AANS iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for JNSPG and AANS podcasts and videos. Content is updated continuously. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.